really interesting. My husband, he really felt this is what I should speak about on the first Sunday that we're here in the new building. A little bit about me, a little bit about my life. And he kind of had the idea, and he said, that's it. That's what you've got to go. That's what you've got to speak on. How many times do you kind of have to do something that somebody else suggests and you don't feel very comfortable with it? I wanted to share briefly even about this building. When we rebuilt our other old church and we got it up to par and we began to get crowded and we knew that we had to move. And, you know, we've always said that there's no old people in God. You're just going to have to be a citizen of change. And we looked at other facilities, other buildings. Some were too big, some were too old. And then we knew that this Grace building was for sale. And we came and looked at it. But when I pulled in the parking lot, I did not, to be honest with you, I didn't like it. I thought it was ugly. So many features about the building I didn't like. And I was kind of just dragging my heels. But my husband said, no, this is what we're going to have to do. This is what we're going to have as our new church home. I thought, Lord, I've been in this place so many times before where you just, God's putting something on your spirit, yet you want to fight it and you want to drag your heels. But the Holy Spirit really challenged me to come to drive early in the morning over here to this parking lot and to sit in my car and to pray and to begin to let the Holy Spirit soften my heart. And some days he challenged me to come in the morning and to come back late at night. I don't know if anybody was driving by on the road out there and saw my car. I probably thought, what's this person doing just in the middle of the parking lot? But I was praying and I was saying, Lord, soften my heart. I know this is your will and I know this is what you want us to do. So just change me on the inside. And it began to work in my heart. So now I want to tell you that I love this building. I love our new church home. And I know we are going to grow here. We're going to prosper. We're going to be happy. There's going to be the presence of the Lord in this building. And so many people that have never encountered God are going to encounter him here in this space. Amen. So, a woman in love. Well, my text for this morning is out of Titus chapter 2, 1 through 5. You can turn there and I'm going to read that out to you. Woo! Okay. Titus chapter 2, 1 through 5. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience, and the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Just going to read two more verses. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility, that you have sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. So we want our lives to have that pattern of sound works. And the older women will teach the young women how to do so many things. So I'm going to speak about loving my husband, loving God, loving my children, and loving the church. So as I began to pray and think about, you know, what could I bring to you folks? What could I actually say? I could share a little bit about my testimony as a young 19-year-old girl from England, who was very dissatisfied with life in England and a lifestyle, and got on a ship with my father and my younger brother and sailed all the way down to South Africa to start a brand new life. And on that ship, that's where I met my husband, Vaughn. Many of you don't know all of the details, but we met each other there, and I fell in love with him. And it's really interesting, you know, when you fall in love with somebody for the first time, it's so difficult to define that feeling. You know, you get very happy and bubbly inside, and sometimes you can't decide, well, is it love or is it lust? What is that emotion that's playing inside me? You know, but you get happy and you get very bubbly when you fall in love. And then it kind of stabilizes and you become more mature in your love relationship. And then, does it get boring? I want to tell you that. Is that what it's like when you first met Jesus? You had a love affair, a love relationship with him. It was bubbly, it was exciting, effervescent. And then it began to stabilize, and then you thought, I've become more mature, but then and now have you become boring? We want to go back to our first love and fall in love with Jesus all over again. So during that time, as a young, unsatisfied person, a young woman that was searching, trying to fill the emptiness, you know, they've heard that big, you have a big hole inside of you, and you try everything to fill it up. We went through a lot of traveling, a lot of experiences. My husband came to his salvation experience when we were here in America, and I came to my salvation shortly afterwards in England. At that point, it was life-changing for him, and I didn't know if I was going to lose my husband at that time because he fell in love with Jesus, and I didn't have that feeling. And maybe it's like that for you, you know, in your lives, you've had an experience with the Lord, but maybe your husband hasn't, or your family haven't, and you can't understand why they don't understand what you've got in Jesus. But thank God, he had his salvation experience, I got saved, and then I began to understand what it really meant to give my life over to Jesus. But I was a faithful wife. You know, as a young girl, I really didn't have too many dreams or visions what I wanted to do with my life. I didn't have a plan. It was kind of like I was like a blank slate. So my husband was able to write on that slate his dream and his vision, and I was the faithful wife that followed after it. And yes, I followed whatever he decided we would do. I wasn't sure what to do, but I trusted him, and I followed him. And that's how I showed him my love. In a marriage, you know, the husband is the head, and he tends to give the direction, and then you follow after him. But then that was how it was initially. I followed after him. But God also began to speak to me, and now we have, you know, we've known each other for a long time, over 30 years. I get the Holy Spirit telling me things, and then we talk about it, we communicate it, and then we come to an agreement. It's kind of like in the story of Ruth. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Ruth's husband died, and she decided to follow after her mother-in-law, Naomi. And the famous words in the Bible were, you know, wherever you go, I will go. Whoever your people are, they'll be my people. Whatever you choose to do, I'm going to go with you. And whoever your God is, I'm going to follow your God. And that's how it was really with me and my husband. Whatever, I just let go of my life and followed him. And we traveled together. We had many, many adventures. As you know, we've traveled all over the world. We did a lot of traveling before we had our family. And the next part, that was how I loved my husband. The next part is how I love God. We ended up in Israel with a ministry after many, many months of traveling. We went on a pilgrimage. And in the Psalms, it said, blessed is the man whose heart is set on pilgrimage. We went on a pilgrimage to find Jesus, to find God in Israel. But all of us, you don't have to take that trip to find God. You can have that pilgrimage right here and now. You can have a hunger in your heart to search out and to seek after God. So we ended up in Jerusalem, Israel. We were part of a ministry there. And it was really very much like a boot camp. We had to get up early in the morning. We had prayer meeting at like 6 in the morning till 8. And then we had breakfast. Then we had a Bible school that went through till lunchtime. Then we had another prayer meeting in the afternoon. This was Monday through Friday. We had 2 church services, Saturday and Sunday, morning and evening, and Friday night, all night prayer. And I'm telling you, that was really just like being, you know, a soldier, being in the army, having that boot camp. But it brought a real spiritual discipline in my life. It really told me how to be a servant, how to lay down my life. The ministry that we were part of in Jerusalem, Israel, they were a great hospitable ministry. Anybody that came to Israel would come there to that ministry, and we would be the tour guides. We would tour people around. We would make meals for them, we would throw parties, and we would celebrate together. And I had to do so much work in those days. And I just realized, well, Lord, this is what you want me to do. I'm going to be an obedient servant and do this. But I was still wasn't very sure of what God really wanted me to do. You know, sometimes where you're unsure, you have to just really seek out the Lord. In Acts chapter 9, that's the story of the Apostle Paul as he's journeying to Damascus. And while he's on the road, he sees a light, and he's thrown down to the ground. And he knows it's God speaking to him, and he calls out, and he says, who are you, Lord? And what do you want me to do? And that was my prayer at that time. Lord, who are you? I really want to know you. I want to find out who you are, about the gifts that you've got for me, about whatever your glory is, about your presence. And what do you want me to do, Lord? I didn't know. So that many times of prayer meetings, like I said, there was some fasting. And then God spoke to me in Isaiah. And when the prophet said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And at that point, I got the revelation that Lord wanted me to be a missionary. Okay, I'm here in Israel. I can serve you overseas. I can go to the foreign people. I can go to people who I don't speak their language. And you can use me as a missionary. But all of us can have that prayer. "Here I am, Lord, send me." You can even pray that and use that prayer to go to your neighbor, the person that you haven't spoken to in a while, or the girl in the supermarket at the cash register. You can speak to her. You can say, "Hey, I'm a follower of Jesus," or you can ask that person, "What's your story?" if you've got time, and let them talk to you. So I began to love God when I knew that he wanted me to be a missionary. And the fact that he could use me. In the prayer meetings, I would get words of knowledge. That was a blessing. I would go up to somebody and lay my hands upon them and pray for them, and they'd be blessed. I would get that prophetic utterance, and I would speak it forth in the congregation, and I was really blessed. And I want to challenge you that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and let God use you. Let him use your hands to pray for people. Let him use your mouth to prophesy, to give words of knowledge, or any of the gifts of the Spirit. So I found out what my calling was to be a missionary, to serve God at home, and to be overseas. And I fell in love with Jesus. So I've loved my husband, and I began to develop a love relationship with Jesus. And at this time, in my marriage with my husband, we didn't have any children yet. And we knew that God wanted to bless us with a family. So we prayed. We said, "Lord, okay, now's the time. Bless us with children." And after about 6 months, that's when I conceived with our first daughter, Alice. And I want to tell you, when you have your children, when you have little babies, you don't own them because they belong to the Lord. Amen? And that's why it's so important when you have your children is to give them back to the Lord. We believe in dedicating our babies here in this church. We believe in baptism, but as adults, when you can make a decision to do that. But when you've got that tiny little bundle, that newborn baby, they belong to the Lord, that little boy, that little girl, and you offer them back to the Lord at the dedication time. And we did that with all of our children. And as you know, I've got five wonderful children, which I love very much. And each one of them have been born on different continents. My eldest daughter, Alice, was born in China. My eldest son, Paul, was born in Israel. My second son, Daniel, here in America, in the Catskills. My second daughter, Sarah, was born in England. And my third daughter, Grace, was born down in South Africa. So they've been born all over the world. And they've been such a great blessing to me. Amen. And the interesting thing is, you know, when you have a child, you don't automatically know how to be a mother. You don't actually have those feelings. You know, you just don't. You have to pray for them. As you're caring and nurturing and loving that baby, the mothering feelings come to you. But what can a woman do that has never had a child? How do they feel? How do they connect with motherhood, and what does that mean? They can be mothers in the house of the Lord. Amen. They can be mothers to these young people and young guys. They can love them. They can pray for them and minister to them. And I believe that God honors all stages of womanhood, right from when they're little girls through to teenagers, to single women, to married women, even if they're women are divorced, right through to elderly, mature women. I think it's wonderful, and I do celebrate being a woman. I really enjoy my femininity, and I enjoy each stage of it. Praise God. Some women really don't, you know, like to be a woman, and they want to play down. They maybe want to dress in masculine clothes or whatever. They don't really enjoy their femininity, but it's God-given, amen, and we should appreciate that. So I love my five children, and I think it's so important when you name your children that their name is so, it defines their character. We've never given any of our children like a nickname or an ugly name, you know, like some people say they're little devils or little monkeys or something. We've never said that. We just never have, because they're blessings to us and their little angels. And as I said, the name is so important. When Alice was born, she was our China baby, the China girl. And then when Paul was born, he was the number one son. Then when Daniel was born, he was the number one American son. And then Sarah, she was little Miss Sunshine. And then we had Grace. And she didn't really have a name, but she could give such a great wink. She was a cute little girl. So it's nice to give terms of endearment to your children. Don't give them ugly names or horrible names. Give them something that's very sweet and loving, and let your children bless you back. And it's so important, as you're loving your children, to give them space in all stages of their life. You know, you don't want to be always continually, as a mother or as a parent, hovering over your kids, fussing over them, worrying them, putting your fears and negativity over your children. Amen. Once you've dedicated that child and given it to the Lord, He's going to look after that baby or that little one. He's going to send His angels to watch over and protect over the children. So give them their space. Let your children prove that they can do things on their own. And that's important in the trust relationship that you have with your kids. Let them do something that they say they're going to do. And just take your hands off of the situation. As they get older, as they get to be teenagers, let them maybe stay home alone or let them go to different places on their own. And just to see how far, you know, to see what they will do. It's like with a bungee jump, you know, you have the cord. You let your children bounce out a little while and then they bounce home. The next time they can jump a little bit further and come back. And I think that's important. And most of all, don't nag your children. One of the most important things to love your children is not to nag them. Maybe you can tell them once or maybe twice, but if you're continually going on and on and on, you know, like I said before, that your sons, they can drone out their mom. You know, when you're saying something about, hey, didn't you pick up in your room? What about get your laundry? All they hear is, didn't I tell you who left their shoes there by the TV? Nothing. They just don't. And then if you keep on nagging and nagging, you've got to stop that. So loving your children isn't like a mushy, gushy kind of thing. You know, to love your children with the love of God, you've got to expect obedience from them and thankfulness. I think, quite honestly, that was the only two things, you know, in our household that we really said for our kids that we really wanted for them. We wanted them to be thankful, and we wanted them to be obedient. So just think about that. And don't forget that as the mom or as the dad, you are the boss in the house. Amen? Not that little child, not that two-year-old. You are the one that is in authority in the home, and you're the one that decides what they should do or how you're going to discipline them. And discipline is very important. That's a whole new other subject. I hope to be talking about that, you know, when we have our Vineyard Life Institute downstairs. We'll be talking about, you know, raising our family, raising our children, and how to discipline them the godly way. Amen. Don't be afraid of discipline. So I love my husband. I love God. I love my children. And then the last one is love my church. Amen. I love the church. And I was thinking about, well, what is the church? That's you and me, right? We are the church here in this place. It's wonderful that when we gather together in that spirit of unity, it's like we reach into heaven and we bring it down here on earth. Amen. That's what we can really taste. That's how we bring the kingdom of God down here on earth with our church. And I was thinking, well, okay, if the church is the bride, right? That's what the Bible says, and Jesus is the bridegroom. You just can't love Jesus without loving the church, the rest of the body. It's wonderful to come to church, have a relationship. Lord, I love you. You're my everything. I worship you, Lord Jesus. But those people in the pew, in the chair next to me, or that woman across the aisle, I just don't like her. She upsets me every time I see her. She says something negative, right? We want to begin to see the whole church as the bride, and the body is beautiful. And it's important that the church not only is here right now as us as the vineyard inside these walls, the church is outside. It's a whole global thing. It's overseas. It's where my husband is right now in Zambia. That is the church there. And he's touching lives, men and women in Zambia, that you know, they believe the same as us. They love the same Jesus. They love the same God. And they're filled with the Holy Spirit. I know it blessed my heart so much when we went to China and to be part of Chinese churches where you would go in the church, even though you couldn't understand what they were saying, they would sing the same kind of songs that we were singing in Chinese, which was a blessing. And then to hear the Chinese people pray in the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues, it sounds the same as the way that we pray, which is a blessing. And then when we go to India, in those churches there, they are speaking in tongues, the same heavenly language that we have. Even though it's culturally different, you have the men sitting on one side of the church and the women on the other side of the church. But they still worship the same Lord, amen. They still, when they speak in tongues, it sounds like me or you speaking in tongues. And that is the church, even though it's the whole world, the whole earth, praise God. But the part of loving the church or loving this church is that you have to serve it. You have to walk and you have to do things that don't make you feel comfortable, or sometimes it's painful or it's hard work. But the church, we are all lively stones. If you can imagine yourself as just being like a rock, a whole pile of rocks. But we have to build this house together, amen. We have to take each rock, put each rock down in place, stick it together with the cement, and then build the next row and then the next row. And I'm asking you, see yourself as a lively stone this morning, amen, and be part of building this house and building a strong house. I mean, maybe at the moment you can only see, it's just like going up to Lowe's and seeing a whole cart of lumber and roof tiles and hammer and nails and all kind of stuff. Everything is there to build the house, but it's not built yet. And the whole building process takes a lot of hard work and serving, praise God. So we need to continue to serve in this house however you can. I know some of you filled out a paper that said when you're available. And we want to make this house beautiful so that we are known, amen, in Kingston and a known roundabout in the area. That the Vineyard is not only is it a lovely, beautiful church building, but the people inside, the Church of God inside, are lovely and beautiful people, amen. So I just shared this morning about how I love my husband. He's a great man, and I hope that you love him too, and I know that you do. He's the shepherd of this house, and you know, the sheep need to feel safe and secure, and I know that you get good water and you get good green grass to eat every Sunday, and that's important, but he's the shepherd and the visionary of the house, and I so much appreciate how you've supported us through all of the change, all of the moves, all of the different things that have happened to us as a church body. So I love my husband, and I love God. And I'm not just really stopping there with the love that I have. I'm always eager to find out more about Jesus, to find out a new way to love him, a new way to encounter him, a new way to touch him, a new way to worship him, and even a new way to pray in the Spirit. Amen. I'm always looking for something new. And I love my children. Amen. And I love the church, the body of Jesus Christ. So I hope something that I've said this morning has been a blessing to you. It's been a great privilege and honor to stand up here as a representative of, you know, my husband, the pastoral, the leadership team. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you. So I want to say God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to me. And at this time, we want to, we're going to pray. Maybe Renee and Esther could come up. We're going to lay hands on them and pray for them.
For us, we love you guys so much, and you really are a family to us, and we appreciate it. And Bobby says hi. I talked to him yesterday.
Just thank you for your prayers and your support as well. It's been a blessing. You guys have been great.